Three sons left home and went out on their own and prospered. Getting back together, they discussed the gifts they were able to give to their elderly mother. The first said, I built a big house for our mother. The second said, I sent her a Mercedes with a driver. The third smiled and said, I've got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoyed reading the Bible? And you know she can't see very well. So I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took elders in the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it. Soon thereafter, Mom sent out her letters of thanks. Milton, she wrote one son, the house you built is so huge. I only live in one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Next one. Gerald, she wrote to the other, I am too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely... And the driver is so rude. Dearest Donald, she wrote to her third son, you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious. It's a little delayed action on that one for some of us. Today we're going to look at something. Actually, we're going to just start it. I found out last service. I'm only going to get halfway through this. We're going to look at something that God intended as a precious treasure. But just like the parrot, something that can be greatly abused. We're going to be talking and looking at God's ideas about fasting. God's ideas about fasting. Isaiah 58, verse 1. God says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. The Hebrew is shofar. Blow the shofar, the ram's horn. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now this is God's word to Isaiah. And he's saying, you know, we got some problems here with the nation. And Isaiah, I want you to make it very clear what their problems are. I want you to shout it out. I want you to speak it out. Tell them what their problems are. Verse 2. See if we can see what the problems are in verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. What's wrong with that? I mean, it sounds like these people are like right on or something, you know. They seek me daily. The words that are used there kind of talks about, it's kind of like praying, asking God for advice. They delight to know His ways. They want to know what God is like, how God does things. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they made a point of doing the things God wanted them to do. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. It's kind of like praying, God, take care of those people that have hurt me so much. It's not really always that bad. It's not that bad. They delight in approaching to God. They enjoy figuring out how to get to God and the things that God wants of them and what they're supposed to do. Now, as spiritual as all of this sounds, as you look at these things, these are all external things. These are all things that are all on the outside. These are all things about knowing about God, but not knowing God. They take delight in knowing things about God, but he doesn't say that they delight in God. Now, when we get next week, we'll get down further in the chapter. God wants to get them to the place where they take delight in Him, It's kind of like it'd be like if I told you that, you know, I really enjoy writing emails to my wife. I like getting her responses, you know. I really enjoy driving the same roads that she drives when she goes to work. I really like that. That's very cool. In fact, I like going down to meet her. I like the drive down to meeting her for lunch. That's really nice. I like the kinds of things that my wife does. But what about liking her? It's very subtle here, but if you don't catch this, you'll miss the rest of the chapter. God's rebuke for them is that, hey, it's all show. Nothing on the inside. He says in verse 3, "Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" The idea is this. They're boasting about how they've fasted, and yet God God doesn't seem to pay any attention. It's like, God, how come we've worked so hard at being miserable? And yet you haven't answered our prayers. Don't you like owe us a little something here? It's the idea here. God's response is, "Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact your labors," or you oppress your workers. In the day of your fast, you find pleasure. See, in their fasting, fasting is typically looked at as abstaining from food. That's typically the way we look at fasting, how we would define it. It's saying no to a meal or two or something like that. It's supposed to be a principle that teaches us how to say no to our flesh, how to deny ourselves. And that's supposed to be a good thing, so that we can learn to say yes to God and do the kinds of things that He wants. But while these people were abstaining from food, they would indulge in other things to make sure that they were comfortable. You know, I want to, you know, okay, I'll do the food thing, but, you know, I think I owe myself a trip to Disneyland at the same time because I'm going to have a really rough day, kind of a thing, you know. And I do all these different things because, you know, I care about me. That's at the heart of this. You exact all your labors, or you oppress all of your workers. Verse 4, "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." Two things here. Ye fast for strife and debate. The New Living Translation says, "What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling?" What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? The principles here are a lot broader than just about fasting. It's really about godliness in general. The kinds of things that we do to seek God, to serve Him, to get closer to Him. And the point is this: true godliness affects your relationships. True godliness affects your relationships. If you've got things right with God, if I get the vertical correct, then my relationships with other people fall in place. It should affect them. It should change them. Warren Wiersbe Wright says, he says, "Fasting and fighting do not go together. Yet how many families walk piously out of church at the close of a Sunday worship service, get in the car, and proceed to argue with each other all the way home?" Now, for some of us, it's the other way around. We argue and we fight all the way up to the door of the church, and then we come to the church and go, "Oh, hello, brother. How are you doing?" And then we keep the smile on our face until we get out the door. And then I pick up the fight again. But see, God's whole heart is, look, look, if you get me working in your life, I'm going to change the way you relate to people. True godliness affects your relationships. You fast for strife and debate. He says at the end of verse 4, he says, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. NIV says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. See, one of the purposes of fasting, one of the things that's linked all through the scriptures with fasting is prayer. You'll see over and over through scripture talks about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And they fasted and they prayed. Prayer and fasting. Part of what fasting is about is getting you better connected with God. And as we'll see when we get later on in the chapter, one of the results of godly fasting is that God pays attention to your prayers. But when people are doing it wrong, when they have chicken for dinner instead of talking to the parrot, when fasting is done wrong, it's like it was right over God's head. Not going to pay any attention at all. Verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this the kind of fast I want, God says? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? It's like God is saying, is this what kind of fast I'm really looking for, says the Lord? Is all I want you to do is just bow your heads and wear sackcloth and ashes? The answer is no. Sackcloth and ashes, off, people would do that along with the fasting thing. That was to make it look like you were more miserable. It'd be like, you know, taking off your soft polyester cotton clothes, you know, and wearing gunny sacks. Very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. And throwing dirt all over yourself. Yeah, it's not a lot of fun, but you get a lot of attention that way. God says, I don't want the external things. I'll talk for a minute about false spirituality. False spirituality. It is possible for a person to put on a display of spirituality that on the outside looks pretty impressive. They may pray very eloquently. They may be able to say the fanciest prayers, maybe the longest prayers that you've ever heard. They may know the Bible, quote the Bible. They may teach a Sunday school class. They may, you know, work with the Harvest Crusade. They may go doing all kinds of things on the outside, but to do it for the wrong reasons. What results is that instead of people being built up, they are beat up. Don't know if you've run into this. But everything seems so spiritual. It has a veneer like, well, this person's really close to God, aren't they? I mean, because they do all these things. But whenever you spend time with them, you come away all bloody and bruised. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you identifying with what I'm saying here? That's what God's getting at with this, with the false spirituality. God really wants it to be coming from our heart, things that come out of our heart, so that the ministry that comes from us is coming from God, what He's doing in my heart, and not just because I'm trying to impress you or getting you to like me or getting you to approve of me. Jesus warned of the Pharisees. He said in Matthew 23, verse 2, he said, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the scriptures. So practice and obey what they say to you. But don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. if your knees are bowed, but your heart isn't, people are going to get hurt. If all the people ever, if all that ever happens in your life are things that you do on the outside to impress people, it's going to be very difficult for God to use that, because He needs a heart yielded to Him. False spirituality. God, protect us from this. Verse 6. Let's talk about the true fast. The true fast. What fasting is all about in God's sight. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is God speaking. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now, as I look at these verses, you're going to get different things from the different translations and the different commentaries. But the way, I'm going to step out a little bit here, a little bit on a limb. But when I compare these two verses, it's almost like there are two groups of things. It's like the first group in verse 6, all the things that he's described, though you could look at them as things that are done outwardly, I can't help but look at these things as having as being spiritual things. And I'll try to describe this in a minute. To me, it looks like verse 6 is talking about spiritual things, and verse 7 is talking about practical things. I'll try to explain this as we go through this. In verse 6 he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To loose the bands of wickedness. Now we could talk about that being a real thing, but wickedness is a spiritual thing. That to loose the bands of wickedness, the wording can carry the idea of setting people free from the bondage of wickedness or guilt. Setting people free from the bondage of wickedness or guilt. God's saying that however fasting really works out, if you really catch on to what it's about, then this is going to be happening. People will be set free from the bondage of wickedness or guilt. Do you understand that we have such a tool? It's called the gospel. We have a message, each one of us, you and I. God has given us a message that sets people free from bondage, from wickedness, and from guilt. Mankind's greatest need is to know His God. And as you and I know, we have a great big problem in getting to relate to God. It's like a huge wall that's been built that separates us from God. And that wall is sin. That's our rebelliousness, our disobedience to God. Every one of us have it. It's not just unique to really, really bad people. All of us. All of us are sinners. And our sin has separated us. It's like a big old wall has been put up between me and God. And you know, try as hard as we want to tear down that wall so I can get to know God, you know. And so try to take care of my own sins and try to stop doing this and stop doing this. But you know what, gang? If you're trying to take care of the sin, what you're going to find is that the wall will go up higher faster than you can tear it down. You can't keep up with it. There's only one thing that tears down the wall between me and God, and that's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. His life given to pay for my sins. His blood, His life shatters the wall, because His blood has paid for the penalty of my sins. It's like God takes the wall away. So there's no longer a problem between me and God, because the blood of Jesus has paid for it. Now, because Jesus paid for my sin, he offers to forgive me then. He says, okay, your sins are all paid for. Well, I forgive you. It's a free gift God offers us. Forgiveness. But because it's a gift, it doesn't do you any good until you receive it. You've got to make it your own. You know, there has not been a single Nintendo 64 game that has been given for a present at our house that has not been played because the gifts have been opened. Are you with me here? Did I just go over your head? Or did I just go under the radar with you? Are you tracking me? A gift doesn't, you don't get to play GoldenEye unless you open the box, right? You don't get to play, you know, Banjo-Kazooie or whatever those games are until you open the box and plug it in. Well, God offers you forgiveness. And until you say, yes, I want it, I need it, it doesn't do you any good. God offers you a chance today to tear down the wall. But you need to tell him that you want him to do it. You need to say yes to him. And when you do, God will completely forgive you and completely remove the wall of separation between you and him. To loose the bands of wickedness. Somehow, gang, when we get a hold of what fasting is supposed to be about, this kind of thing happens. People around us will be affected. And guilt will be removed. Wickedness will be taken away because Jesus will help them. To loose the bands of wickedness, he says in verse 6, to undo the heavy burdens. The wording can mean to unfasten the cords of the yoke or to set something free from a kind of slavery, like being enslaved to sin. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. That ye break every yoke. No. Let's see if I can get this point across. Spiritual ministry requires spiritual motives. Let me see if I can explain this. Let me say it again first. Spiritual ministry requires spiritual motives. Now, we've been talking about fasting, right? Talking about abstaining from food. Something that people often will look at and say, well, I've got a really important prayer request, something I really got to get done and really need to bend God's ear, so let's fast, you know. And sometimes our attitude can border on the idea of God being that great big genie up in the sky, and man, if I just fast, then he will grant me my three wishes. And what's my focus on? Me. My focus becomes, what am I getting out of this? Are you following me? But see, God's motive for fasting has nothing to do with you. God's motive for fasting is so that he will use you in other people's lives. If your reason for fasting or anything, getting closer to the Lord, or you know, I want to read my Bible more, and I want to, you know, do all these things more. Why? Is it so that people will be impressed with me? Is it so that I can enter into conversations with people at church and not feel stupid? No. Is it for others? If your reason for fasting is you, people are going to get hurt. If your reason for fasting is others, then that's when God is pleased. Did you follow that? Did you follow that? The pews are taking effect. You are going to sleep on me, aren't you? They're awfully darn comfortable. Verse 7, let's end. We'll end here. Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. A couple of things here. It says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? The word that's translated deal in Hebrew means to divide, to break in two. Usually, we think of fasting as not having a meal, or two, or three, or whatever, a couple of days, you know, for really spiritual. Usually that's kind of what we think of fasting as. I just don't have any. I say no. Just say no. God's idea of fasting is not just to say no for me, but to take what I have and what I haven't eaten and give it away. It is one thing to deny yourself that last piece of double fudge chocolate cake sitting in the refrigerator. It is one thing to say, no, back, get thee behind me, thou chocolate cake. I am fasting today. I shall not eat the chocolate cake today. But tomorrow, it is mine. Precious ones, God's idea of fasting would be that I would say no to the chocolate cake and I would give it to someone else. That's God's idea of how He wants us to grow closer to Him, the kinds of things that we do. Denying yourself to give to others. Denying yourself to give to others. A wife became quite concerned over her husband's declining health. His color was very pale and lifeless, and he had a terrible lack of energy for even the simplest of tasks. After much prodding and cajoling, she persuaded him to go to the doctor to find out what his problem might be. The doctor examined him carefully and ran a full battery of tests to determine the exact nature of the man's illness. After evaluating the test results, he called the woman into his office to give his prognosis. Your husband is suffering from a rare form of anemia. Without proper treatment, he could be dead in a matter of a few weeks, he informed the very anxious wife. He went on to say, however, it can be successfully treated with the right care and diet. And with the proper course of treatment, I am happy to report that you can expect full recovery. The wife was very relieved and asked what kind of action was necessary. The doctor gave his prescription. You will need to get up every morning and fix a complete breakfast of pancakes, eggs, bacon, etc. Make sure that he has a home-cooked lunch each afternoon of fresh baked bread, homemade soup. For dinner, prepare a meal of fresh salad, old-fashioned meat and potatoes, fresh vegetables, and perhaps some homemade pie or cake for dessert. Because his immune system is so compromised, you will need to keep the house scrupulously clean. It is also important to keep his stress level very low, so avoid any kind of confrontation or argument. The wife emerged from the doctor's office with tears rolling down her cheeks. She faced her husband. Her husband took one look at his wife and said very seriously, the news is bad, isn't it? What did the doctor say? With a choked voice, sobbing wife told her beloved husband, the doctor says you're going to die. See, God's idea of fasting is that you deny yourself to give to others. Some of us aren't working, we're trying, we're working hard at learning to deny ourselves. But that's half of it, gang. That's only half of it. It's not complete until I've not only denied myself, but I've done it for your sake. That's God's kind of ministry. That's God's kind of heart. One other little thing I want to bring out of here is, verse 7, to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out into the house. The idea of, taking care of the homeless. when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, giving them clothes, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. The idea of that last phrase, don't hide yourself from seeing the needs of your own kindred, your own family. I've seen in the past, it's not an uncommon thing that we can get so caught up in serving others and doing things for other people that we ignore the very first place that we're to serve, and that's at home. And it is good that you would be involved in all these different kinds of things. But if you're ignoring your family and you're ignoring their needs, that is not God's kind of growth. Ministry starts at home. Ministry starts at home.